Hello, this is Jason Peebles, and I wanted to take a moment before this final session and pray for those of you that are studying by audio cassette tape. You know, during the course of this seminar, I actually laid hands on people and prayed that God would increase them in their ability to hear His voice. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 5 says, "The Lord has opened my ear." You think about that. Evidently, there was a time in Isaiah's life where he didn't feel like he was tuned into God. But he says, "The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." So I want to pray for the same anointing that we experienced in this seminar to come over onto you, and whatever level you're at in your Christian life, to move you to higher ground, a greater dimension of spiritual sensitivity and tuning into His voice. So I want you to hook up with me in faith. We know in the Spirit there's no time, there's no distance that can separate us. It's really a matter of faith, and God, who is eternal by His Spirit, honors prayers whenever they're offered. And if you'll agree, God will do it. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that You would increase their spiritual sensitivity. Lord, I pray that You would move them to a new level of spiritual understanding, hearing and perceiving Your voice and Your direction. Lord, I ask that these principles and these keys that we've been studying would be applied in their life, implemented in their life, and just like Isaiah, they could say, "The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." Lord, give them the faith and the grace not only to hear, but to follow through and do Your perfect will. I release my faith now in Jesus' name. Well, right now I want you to pray a prayer of agreement. Just whisper a prayer wherever you are and just say, "Lord, I agree that You would increase me." And let's join the seminar as I began in St. John chapter 16.
Mostly it's going to come about as you have those daily devotions, and that's why we gave the people this particular tape set on how to have an effective devotional life. As you begin to spend time in God's Word, God has a way of causing those verses to just leap off the page and begin to apply to the situations in your life. But he says in verse 13, "He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak." Now, there's two languages of the Holy Spirit. Hear me. There's two languages of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to see this in this verse. The first, what I call language of the Holy Spirit, and I'm not referring to tongues, is the fact that the Holy Spirit will speak. So underline that phrase in that verse. It says that He will speak. But it goes on to say in verse 13 at the end there, He will show you things to come. So there's times the Holy Spirit will speak to us, and there's times the Holy Spirit will simply show us things that He's leading us into. For instance, I remember when we were beginning to be open to God and pray about starting World Outreach Christian Center, and having been an evangelist for, 20 years, that was kind of conflicting with my mind. And I was standing at Victory World Outreach, which is our home church with Pastor Dennis Rouse, and that church now runs about, in fact, he told me just the other day they had 1,700 people last Sunday. And they do that in three services. They have a Saturday night service and then two Sunday morning services. But Martha and I, we were just in the congregation. We had gone through their membership class, which is very similar to this one, and just took the humble approach. Okay, we didn't go in there saying, "Well, I know all this stuff. You know, I've been an evangelist 20 years." No, I went in there and I just took notes and listened, took the approach of Jesus when Jesus went to John the Baptist and said, "Baptize me." And Jesus certainly did not need a baptism of repentance. In fact, John said, "Hey, wait a minute, I need to be baptized by you." Jesus said, "No, I'm here, go ahead and baptize me." That was a very significant event in Jesus' life. But we were standing there just worshiping God at a Sunday morning service. I wasn't traveling that particular weekend. And God just opened up a panoramic vision. I don't want to mislead you. It wasn't like I literally saw a movie screen, but it could have been like that. It was more in my mind and in my thought life where I just saw a building, and it wasn't VWO's building, it was our building. And I saw an unfinished ceiling like this with the girders showing, still exposed, more like an industrial type thing. I saw a sanctuary that quite honestly was about three times this size. And that gives me hope for the future. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And so that space on the other side, is it won't even be the fulfillment of that entirely, because we'll be able to double our sanctuary space with this new addition. and have about 400 seats. But as I was standing there, I just began to see that. And I saw Martha up there leading worship. I saw myself on the platform. I saw it that I was pastoring. Not that I was a visiting speaker, but that I was pastoring. And the Lord began to whisper. And so He shows and He speaks. Everybody say He shows. Everybody say He speaks. So you need to be open to those two languages or avenues of the way the Holy Spirit will communicate to you. And we call it, in general, hearing the voice of God. But again, it could be something He shows you. It could be an impression. I just know that I know that I know. How do you know? Well, don't know. Just know what God's saying. I've just got the peace about it. And of course, we've been through a lot of these during the series. And as I stood there, the Holy Spirit began to whisper to me. And He said, "Will you do this?" And my old evangelist inside was saying, you know, I don't know that I can do it. I'm not sure I'm capable of doing it. Don't know if I want to do it. I'm not sure I really want to go through the battles necessary to do it. Have you ever argued with God? Anybody? Am I the only one? Come on, don't look at me so holy. Am I the only one? I'll cast lying devils out of you this morning. Hallelujah. Sit there and lie to me. And I said, "Yes, Lord." I said, "I'm willing." I said, "I don't really know how to do it. Don't know how to get started. I mean, I can model. I've learned, obviously, some things over 20 years of traveling, but I don't want to assume anything. So, Lord, if You're with me, I'll do it. If I'm just going to be out there on my own, don't desire to do that because I've been there enough times and I don't want to struggle like that again. So if You're with me, I'll do it." And the Lord began to confirm in me. And I tell you, I look back and that was such a significant time that really propelled me another level in the development of our ministry and what God's doing here at this church. He showed me and He spoke to me. Now read the following verses. He says in verse 14, says, "He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine," and here it is again, mark it in verse 14, "and show it unto you." So if I can just use a modern day technology, and I'm certainly not trying to be sacrilegious here and compare the Holy Spirit to equipment, okay? But we understand that there's satellites, and these satellites relay information. Could be a cellular phone call. The whole internet's going wireless. They say the whole world's going to go wireless. And you'll be able to, you know, get your email. In fact, you can get email now on wireless telephones and so forth like that. But Jesus is relaying, if you will, by the Holy Spirit to the believers on the earth the direction of God. Now put your hand right here in your chest. I want everybody to say this out loud. I receive God's direction in my life. I'm ready to go. Right or left or straight ahead. Whatever God wants, I am open to His guidance. Amen. Verse 15, "All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that He shall take of mine," and here it is again, "and show it unto you." Now notice in three verses, He's mentioned the phrase "show it," and He says once in verse 13, "He shall speak." And it says in the book of Joel, we won't turn there, but it says in the book of Joel that in the last days that they'll have visions, they'll have dreams. And one of the main ways you need to be sensitive to is that the Holy Spirit will simply show you an impression, a mental or in your heart, a spiritual vision of where God wants to take you. And you need to be responsible and begin to respond to that. Now, before I leave this point, and this is really kind of background information before we continue in our keys that we've been looking at, is that faith involves those same two elements. And that's why the Holy Spirit speaks and shows. I want you to write this down. Just write it like a formula. Faith equals, just like you would a mathematical formula. Faith equals see it plus say it plus do it. And so if we could break faith down really into just three essential elements, and you think about in your life whenever you've had faith for something, God always helped you see it first, didn't He? In other words, you begin to see it. I could do that. You know, I could own a house, or I could go to college, even though no one in my family's ever gone to college and doesn't look like I have any money to go to college. But I could see myself there. I could see myself working in that company. Or I could see myself owning my own business. I could see that. I could see me having equipment. And then you start saying it. And so usually you'll go to somebody and maybe go to your wife, you know, and I'm sitting here looking at Robert, you know, maybe go to Pam, you know, and say, "Honey, I just think, you know, I'm supposed to get another type of piece of equipment that would allow me to do commercial painting a lot faster. I don't know, I just kind of saw myself." And I'm just speaking off the hat here, but I just been there. Did you sell the equipment yet? I could just see myself owning that equipment at just a new level instead of residential, maybe commercial. So you find yourself, you see things, then you start saying, and before long, you'll find yourself down there looking at that equipment. You're doing something that's a cooperation of your faith. So that is the language of the Holy Spirit, which gets us into faith. So I must be sensitive to the visions of the Spirit, and I must be sensitive to release and speak what I want to cooperate with God on. And the danger is, and every one of us in this auditorium is guilty, including myself, at times you'll get upset and you'll speak contrary. Anybody ever spoken contrary? Oh, this thing's just not going to work out. I'm just disgusted with this. Anybody ever said that? Or am I? Okay, amen. See, if I'll cast the lying devils out of you, amen. Have to get you sanctified, so you're telling the truth. Don't come to church to tell lies. And there's been times, even in the middle of this building project that we were involved in early on, there was a time I just walked into Martha, and I think we were stuck at, we had to have like $200,000 to get in here, and I think we were stuck at something like, I don't know, 70, or it was way down there. And I just said, I just walked in, man, this is going to happen. The partners aren't responding. I mean, maybe I've missed God and da-da-da-da-da. And Martha just said, now you just need to go back and listen to some of your own tapes. And, you know, that's really what you don't want to hear at the time. And I was like, don't you want to get down here in the mully grubs with me? And she wouldn't do that. Thank God you've got to have some associates around you that believe and understand the Word of God like you do so that you can move forward in the things of God. So, you know, if this week you've been saying things contrary, if you've been speaking things contrary, you say, what do I do now? Repent. It's real easy. Repent and change your confession. Well, what do I change my confession to? Well, you're always safe with change your confession to the Word of God. But even more specifically, change your confession to line up with what God is saying for you to do. And get back, you know, with the direction that God's been speaking to you. All right, now, let's go back and review rather quickly. And if you've got your notes from our previous sessions, you may want to do that. If you haven't been with us in our previous sessions, you better start writing real quick because I'm not going to linger on these very long. But we've been looking at 10 keys for discerning the voice of God. And there are many keys. These are not necessarily avenues. We talked about the still small voice, open doors, the timing, etc. But these are, if I think I've heard God, you know, I thank God spoken to me, or somebody comes to me. You know, maybe I come over here to Carl and I say, Carl, I believe I got a word for you. And if I were to give him a word, how can he discern what is really God? So these are 10 keys for discerning God's voice. Number one, we said this, is the word or the message in harmony with the Bible? And that's got to be number one. God will never contradict his own book. Amen? So God will speak in line with the word. So you ask yourself this question, is the word or the message? In other words, what I think God might be saying, is that in harmony with the Bible? That's number one. Number two, learn to compare the word or the message to previous directions that God has given you. Learn to compare the word or the message to previous directions that God has given you. See if it lines up. And I'll tell you, this saves so much rabbit chasing. So many people just go down rabbit trails. They're just, you know, jerking here, jerking there. God is not that confused. Somebody say amen. And so some of the weirdest people, you know, God's changing all the time. God will generally just build a pattern, a straight line for you, and it'll line up. Number three, what is the condition of the word giver? Ooh, I think that's a good one. What is the condition of the word giver? And I'm tempted to preach on that again, but I've already preached on it. So many of the most spooky prophetic, and I believe in the prophetic, so don't misunderstand me, but sometimes some of the people that think they are prophets, they are really mixed up people running around trying to poke their nose in everybody else's business. Number four, the word or the message should lead you to a point of inner peace. And I found that to be true in my life. You know, whenever God really speaks to me, peace comes. Eventually a peace will settle in on me. Number five, what is the timing of the word? You know, you can legitimately hear God, but you gotta make sure you're in His timing and not ahead or not late. Number six, does the word lead or demand? It says in Psalm 23 that He leadeth me. And we talked about the difference between the shepherd and the butcher. The shepherd leads, the butcher drives the flock to the slaughter. And sometimes, you know, the enemy will come and give you kind of a false impression, and it's a driving thing, and God is a peaceable God. Number seven, does the Word stay with you for a long period of time? And then the one we left off in our last session, and I want to pick back up on this for just a moment. Write this down. Here's number eight, the eighth key. What do successful godly counselors say about the Word? Boy, I cannot emphasize that enough. What do successful godly counselors say about the Word? Go with me to Proverbs 13, and I want to begin to look at some new material on this. We covered part of this in our last session, and I want to really plow into it further today. It never ceases to amaze me, Proverbs 13, never ceases to amaze me how many people will come to me with this kind of a statement. And I've even seen it more in the short time I've been pastoring. People will come and say, "Pastor, the Lord has spoken to me thus and so. What do you think about it?" Now think about that. Well, if the Lord spoke to you thus and so, my opinion don't matter. Somebody say the word humility. We all need to learn. Every one of us need to learn that when we think we've heard God, it's a much better posture, number one, to go to others, at least they're doing that, but to go and say, "I think that I've heard God. Pretty sure I've heard God. But I'd like to get your feedback and input on it." That shows humility, and you're not assuming that you know all. And every one of us have these blind spots, as we talked about in driving. So you're driving an automobile, and you learn rather quickly to turn your head and check the blind spot. Because the rear view mirror doesn't cover it all, and the side view mirror doesn't cover it all, but you'll turn. And if you ever fail to do that, and we've all done this, you go to pull over and somebody, you know, blows their horn at you, and thank God for it, you would have sideswiped them. And so you go. Now, notice we said, what do successful godly counselors? We didn't just say godly counselors, nor did we just say successful. And I made a point of this, and it bears repeating. You know, there's a lot of godly people out there that really love Jesus, and they're on their way to heaven, but their lives are messed up. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's good preaching. And there's some people that you don't know need to go get their opinion. Even though they love Jesus, they've never succeeded at what you're about to do. Now, the other side is true, too. You don't want to just go to a successful person who doesn't have God's perspective on it. So hopefully you go to somebody who is godly and successful. Now, here's a golden rule before we look at this passage. I want you to write this down in your own shorthand somehow. There's a golden rule in this. You will never rise higher than your closest associates, models, and mentors. I'm going to say that again. You will never rise higher in your life. How many of you want to be all that God has called you to be? How many of you want to reach your full potential in God? Well, you'll never do it. You'll never rise any higher than your closest associates, models, and mentors. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't have friends that aren't where you're at, but your primary friendships, your primary role models that you're looking to, your primary mentors, if you can ever get into a mentoring relationship where somebody will consistently speak into your life, that is going to determine how high you go in life. Well, what does this tell me? The reciprocal is true. If I hang around losers, I'm going to be a loser. If I hang around somebody who's never had their own business, then it's going to be hard for me to ever break into having my own business. So if I desire to, say, own a home one day, then I need to go to talk to somebody who's done what? This ain't rocket science. It's somebody who's done what? Owned a home. If I desire to pastor, and I've never pastored, been an evangelist for 20 years, then I better find a role model, and preferably even beyond that, a mentor who can speak into my life and coach me. Would you write the word coach down? I'm not afraid of that word. Coach me. Even though God has spoken to me to start the church, I need coaching to see that thing walked out successfully. And that's why we meet regularly with Pastors Dennis and Colleen Rouse and Dan White, who's coming next month, and others. Now, let's look at the biblical basis of this. Proverbs 13, verse 20. Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise." Isn't that good? He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And that's why in our membership induction this morning, and probably every time we have one of these, I will always say that there is a corporate anointing. And I'm just baffled at how many Christians who love God will continue to go to churches that have no fire, don't teach the Word. I mean, the guy, you know, read out a Shakespeare or something like that and quote Shakespeare to you, or US Today report or whatever like that. And certainly we don't want to be ostriches with our head in the sand, but we need to be Bible-based. I want to be around somebody who's fired up for God. Why? Because that kind of stuff is contagious. Yeah. If I hang around somebody who's not fired up for God, who doesn't even think enough to come to church and bring their Bible, and somebody said, "Aren't you going to buy Bibles for the back of the pews?" Absolutely not. I'm not buying Bibles for the back of the pews. Hallelujah. Even though we don't got pews. Chairs. We're not even buying it for the chairs. Why? I want people to learn to bring their own Bibles. Not little babies that you go, open up. There we go. Oh, glory. Now, if you didn't bring your Bible this morning, don't feel bad. Right? I better say that because somebody's out there feeling condemned. Man, I didn't bring my Bible. Well, get you a Bible. And don't get your old cheap Bible. Get you a good Bible. One red letter edition. Amen. Oh, I'm about to get myself in trouble. Go to Proverbs 19. Just right next door. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Man, these are such profound verses. And I will tell you, now as a parent, you know, I used to hear my parents say this. And when you're a teen, you know, your parents are kind of, they're not cool. And I understand that now. Looking back as a parent, my parents would at times say, "That person's just not good for you to hang around." And you know, as soon as your parents would go around the corner, you go, just kind of mock them, you know. Parents, how many of your parents now look back and go, "Man, you should have listened to your parents." Because now you're saying the same stuff. You're saying the same stuff to your children. Look at this, verse 20. Proverbs 19, verse 20. "Hear counsel and receive instruction. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end." You know, there's a lot of people that start out for God, but at the finish line, they're not there. Come on. There's a lot of people that set out to start a business. There's a lot of people that start church. I can't tell you how many startup churches there are just right in this area. I mean, almost every little strip mall you drive by, there's somebody that, and I probably in their heart, they believe with all their heart, God's told them to do that. Maybe God has, maybe He hadn't. I don't know. I'm not a judge of that. But it's not just how you start, it's how you finish. And how you finish is determined by, verse 20, hearing counsel and receiving instruction. Verse 21, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." Hallelujah. That's what we're after. So, you know, if I come over to, and I do this even with our staff, I'll come over to Linda who works in the office, or Barbara or different ones, and I'll say, "Well, what do you think about this? Would you read this document and circle things that don't look right to you?" Don't I do that? Why? I'm looking for the counsel of the Lord. Now, there's some people that are just like, "Well, bless God, I don't listen to anybody. I confer not with flesh and blood." That's their favorite verse. "I confer not with flesh and blood." Hallelujah. Well, it shows that you don't confer with flesh and blood. Now, I'll take our radio broadcast as an example. Many years ago, we were on radio and we got up to a whopping 2 stations. And then we backed off because it just wasn't paying for itself. It was frustrating for a number of reasons. But people were reached, people were blessed, and I believe that we had had a sincere leading of God to do it. But I lacked some knowledge. So please write that down. You know, knowledge is important to success. Not just enough to hear God and be called. You got to have some knowledge. And so, in the process of time, that thing kind of came back on me. I'm supposed to be on radio. And today, as I speak, you know, we air about 20 times a day our radio broadcast in different cities. Every day, we're in Atlanta. And if you're not listening to our broadcast, you need to listen to it. It's a real easy time, 12 o'clock noon. That's pretty good. And you can pick up one of the cards out there with the information on there. Every day in Atlanta, every day in Jacksonville, every day in Detroit, every day in Albany, New York, every day in Nashville. I mean, God has really opened some good markets for us. Well, what's the difference between when I got up to two stations and now we're airing about 20 times a day? What's the difference? I'll tell you what the difference is. I met Joyce Meyer. I met Joyce Meyer, and this was before she really reached her present level of notoriety. Jeff and I, in fact, were ministering in the St. Louis area, and we had an invite to go see her son. I really didn't know Joyce. I knew her son from a Bible school situation. And so we had gone up there, and we just walked through her office one day. Happened to be the day that they were celebrating their 100th radio station. She was on no TV, had not written a book, and was just now up to 100 radio stations. She happened to be there that day. Everybody say, it just so happened. Hallelujah. It just so happens will start happening. Amen. And she was there, and she said, "So, you want to be on radio, do you?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "I believe the Lord's called us to get on radio." And I did it before and got up to two stations. And I said, we backed out of it, you know, because we almost died from not having enough money. And she said, "Well, you got to have some information." And she walked around and she began to say, "Here's how we do this. Here's how we do that. Here's how." And she introduced me. "Here's our shipping department. Here's how the orders are printed. Here's the telephone script that is used. Here's how you need to construct your broadcast. Don't be afraid on your broadcast to offer your tapes. You need to offer your tapes on your broadcast." You know, I mean, that seems like a no-brainer, but I'm writing all this stuff down. And she said, "Would you like me to pray for you that the same anointing would come on your radio broadcast?" I said, "Would I like you to pray for me?" I said, "Put both hands, if you can get both feet up there, put both feet up on my head. I want the anointing." And she said, "Well, I'll tell you this story." She said that years previously, Marilyn Hickey was on radio. And when she got ready to shift to TV, she left radio. And she laid hands on Joyce Meyer for an anointing to come on her radio endeavors. She said, "Well, I'm going to lay hands on you, and that same anointing is going to come on you." And I mean, I was like, if you had to listen, you could have heard this loud sucking noise. Man, I was like a vacuum cleaner, just wanting to get all that anointing. I said, "Lay hands on me." She began to pray. Dave, her husband, was there. They prayed. And I tell you what, I just began to say out loud, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." Not that Joyce Meyer makes me, but it's the anointing of God. But I need a model. I need somebody to give me some information. I need somebody to coach me. And did you know that not only did they do that, they were so committed, they sponsored for a full year, they paid for two of our very first radio stations. She lives what she teaches. And that was, to kind of fill you in, that was about $15,000 in one year that she sponsored our program, Victory for Today. Everybody say, "God bless Joyce Meyer."
God bless Joyce Meyer.
All right, so I look back at my life. That was significant. All right, with the coming of the church, and I mentioned this earlier, but I want to underscore this. Starting in pastoring, it's not just enough to say, "God has spoken to me and God has called me." I need, look in your notes, I need what? Everybody say information. Oh, don't shout me down so loud now. Everybody say information. See, I preach and you shout, all right? Let's get this straight. Everybody say, information!
Information!
And I'll tell you, whatever you're going to do, you need what?
Information.
Amen. If you don't have information, you know what's going to do? You're going to have a stillborn calling. It'll develop within your spirit. It's just like a baby that's aborted. It'll develop in your spirit. You'll carry it. You'll come to the birth and there'll be no life in it, or just live a very short time. Instead of seeing, like, this church is a baby right now. This is a baby church. And it's got to be nurtured along. It's got to be coached along. It's got to be helped to grow until it gets on its own two feet. One day we'll be mentoring others. But right now we're primarily under the covering of Victory World Outreach, Pastors Dennison and Colleen Rouse. And so those are two examples of how we've lived this out. All right, chapter 24, Proverbs 24. You getting something out of this? Remember the golden rule. You will never rise higher than your main associates, role models, and mentors. So just look around. Let me just say this. Just look around. If your primary associates are on your same level, you need some new associates. If your primary role models are below you or on your same level, you need to start looking for some... Well, Brother Jason, you mean I might have to develop some new friendships? Right. Which means you might have to go through the pain of terminating some old friendships. And there's where the cost comes in. Because when we begin to move towards this, and I don't think it would be appropriate to talk about this on tape or in public, but we had to actually leave some friendships of many years that weren't real excited about the direction we were going in. It hurts, but if you're going to obey God, you've got to trust God in the realm of relationships just like you do in any other area. All right, Proverbs 24, verse 3. It says, "Through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it is established." And here's that word knowledge. "And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches." Now don't just picture a physical house. I mean, it could be the house you live in, but picture the house being your call in life, your business, the vision that God's given you, the church, whatever it is that God has spoken or breathed in your heart. That's the house. He says, "I want to fill it up." And the way it's going to be filled up is through wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Verse 5, "A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make war." Underline that. "By wise counsel thou shalt make war. And in the multitude of counselors there is safety." Well, I will agree with that if those counselors are good mentors, meaning successful and godly. If they're not successful and they're not godly, then in the multitude of counselors there is confusion. So you've got to have the right kind of counselors in your life. What do successful godly counselors say about the Word? Number 9. Here's the 9th principle. We're coming down the stretch now. We've got 2 more principles. We've got 10. The 9th principle, remember what this is about. It's for discerning the voice of God. How do I make sure that's God? How do I respond to that? Number 9. How will the Word or the message affect other people? Oh, this is a big one. You think you've heard God? Well, you need to ask yourself this question. How will this word or the message that I'm feeling is from God, how will this affect other people? Well, Brother Jason, why should I care how it affects other people? I mean, if God has said it. Yes, God may have said it. Don't miss this. But how you respond and walk it out, God does care about. Go with me to Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. Now, while you're turning there, I want to give you some categories to consider. This is the big one. All you men, if you don't listen, if you don't hear anything else in this set, Jason Peebles will rescue you if you'll just get this one thing. If you think you've heard God, please talk to your wife. The women ought to shout me down right then. You missed a good opportunity. Men, if you think you've heard God, you need to go counsel and talk with your wife and think through, how will this affect my wife? I talked to one guy the other day. This is a true story. Nobody in our church, so I'm not picking on anybody in our church. But he said, "Man, I wish I'd heard some of these principles that are on your set." He said, "Because I felt the Lord had spoken to me to sell our house." And he said, "My philosophy in those days was confer not with flesh and blood." Now, he was married. And he said, "I knew somebody in town, it was a small town, that had always said, if you ever sell that house, let us know." And he said, "I sold the house and then told my wife." Now, he didn't put it exactly like this, but the way he described it was before his very eyes, when he finally told his wife, she was transfigured. It's kind of like that old cartoon. She was transformed. His sweet, precious wife turned into something like that thing on TV, Xena. Princess Warrior. I mean, his wife, yeah, just turned into Princess Warrior right before his eyes. And he said, literally, they almost got a divorce over the situation. And he said, "I will never do that again." Well, that's just stupidity gone to seed. I don't know how to put it any better. That's just stupidity gone to seed. The Bible says that we are joint heirs. If you're married, your husband or your wife, that you're joint heirs together in the grace of God, and you need to treat each other as joint heirs. Proverbs or Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. So guys, if you don't learn anything else, write that deal down. Unless you enjoy seeing Xena, Princess Warrior, show up and throw that little boomerang thing. She'll get you too. Verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any heart of mercy and compassion, fulfill my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love. Would you underline the phrase, having the same love? Being of one accord and one mind. Now, focus on verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Everybody say, wow.
Wow.
Now say it backwards. Everybody say, wow.
Wow.
I mean, folks, that is a mouthful. Let me read that again, in case that just flew right by you. Let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of who? Others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We won't read the rest of it. Basically says he was a humble servant. Now, what does that mean in practicality? That means in practicality that we should consider how our actions, even if we think we're responding to the direction of God, how will that affect my wife? Therefore, I should go and it should be a team decision. And if you haven't got my men's tapes, you need to get my men's tapes back. I got a volume called Men's Six Pack. It's got a beer six pack on the front, except it's got new wine in it. Amen. And it says, hey, bud, this tape's for you. So you need to get my men's six pack. Take it home and get high on that deal. But my whole vision of submission is not that the man walks through the house, you know, like King Kong or Godzilla squashing all the little people in the path. Headship means that you're the chief server. You're not going to want to preach on headship anymore once you find out the real meaning. It means that like Jesus, who's the head of the church, he was the servant. And so in the home, you're going to be the servant. So if I feel like I've heard God, then it's my duty under God to come to the joint heir with me, Martha. And I say, I feel like I've heard. There's the humble approach. I feel like I've heard God. What do you think about this? And she begins to be a part of it. I may even go to my children if it's going to affect them and get them in on it. So that a good head of a home, you're building a team ministry there. If you don't do that, you're going to have hurt feelings. You're going to have resentments. Offenses develop, and you're gonna get yourself in a situation that's gonna end up hurting you, and then you're gonna feel like the persecuted martyr. All I'm trying to do is serve God, but you went about it the wrong way. Write these categories down. You need to consider your spouse in any major decision, your children, your parents, and I got another one for you. How about this one? Your employer. And your church. Now, I think I've got time for just one quick example of this, how this was done wrong. There's a little town in South Georgia, I'll not call the name of it, but many, many years ago, the pastor told me this. He said, okay, we were a small church, and you got to understand, this whole town probably was like 2,000 people. Whole town. All of the surrounding community. And so his church was very small. His church was maybe like 30 or 40 people, and it was going to be difficult to really ever grow to be a big church just simply because of the population level. And so they had a worship leader. This worship leader was the only worship leader in the church. Well, unbeknownst to that pastor, the worship leader had talked to another church in a nearby area and had felt the calling of God to go over there and be their worship leader. Well, the way he does this is he comes in and starts strumming on his guitar one Sunday morning. And had never had told the pastor, never consulted with the pastor, nothing like that. Just stands up and said, this will be my last Sunday. And I'm leaving and I'm going to be the worship leader over at so-and-so. And then proceeded to lead in worship. Well, the pastor said he was so devastated, was so confused. It was like, you know, because he had nobody else to lead worship. This was not the right way to announce it in front of the church, as if to lead people over there. And so the pastor, he said, man, I was just numb the rest of the service. He said, I don't remember what I said. I don't remember what I preached. I just got up there and kind of got on autopilot and stumbled through it. Then the guy got mad at me because we didn't lay hands on him and send him out with a blessing. So he got on the phone that afternoon and said, how could that pastor, knowing this was my last Sunday, not lay hands on me and bless me and send me out like that? And called all the relatives, because a lot of those towns are in her, boy, they're all, you know, relatives are there. And, I mean, just caused a major church stink. And so, some of the people got mad at the pastor. Why didn't you lay hands on him? And the pastor said, did you realize that's the first time I ever heard it? I didn't know. I was shocked just like you. And so, confusion could have been averted by simply being considerate. Everybody say, be considerate. Everybody say, be nice.
Be nice.
That's probably one of the fruit of the Spirit somewhere. Just be nice. I can't remember that long list. All right, just remember this. Be nice. I mean, there's some people that aren't even Christians that are nicer than some Christians. I've been all over the world. I mean, I've been to India, and some of the people that are Hindu, they're just nice people. Nice people. They're nicer than some Christians who claim to be filled with the Holy Ghost. In fact, filled with the Holy Ghost, that just puts more fire in their meanness sometimes. I don't know about that. Come over there and get you. Well, they're not really filled with the Holy Ghost. But one of the things we must all work on is, okay, I think I've heard God, whether it's this decision, that decision. Let's be considerate here. Let's think of others more important than ourselves. So those of us, and every one of us, have somebody over us in some way. You know, if on your job, for instance, if on your job you're feeling led to leave that job, well, you put yourself, if you were the employer, would you want that person just to pack their stuff in one day and walk out the door? And we're going to laugh at this, and I'm not saying this to be cute, but that old song, you can take this job and shove it. If you're a Spirit-filled Christian, you really can't sing that song. If you're really a Spirit-filled Christian, you can't have that kind of attitude. I mean, you might feel like that, mind you. But you're going to think and go, wait a minute, I've got to let Jesus be Lord in this, and I've got to consider that person. Even though I don't like that person, I don't think what they're doing is right, I am going to do my responsibility before God and consider and esteem others, and I'm going to give them proper notice. You give them proper notice, you fill out your responsibilities, your duties, you try to make the transition as if you were the employer, you would appreciate somebody doing that. Everybody say, ouch. Everybody say, thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Amen. All right. What number am I on now? What principle? Number 10. Coming down the final stretch here. Number 10. Make sure that you reach the place of complete inner knowing prior to acting on a major word. Number 10. Make sure that you reach what I call the place of complete inner knowing prior to acting on a major word. Now, mind you, this is not every little thing that you're making decisions about, but, you know, starting a church, that's major. Selling your home, buying a home, that's major. What college to go to, certainly who you're going to marry, this type of thing. Make sure that you reach the place of complete inner knowing prior to acting on a major word. Go with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. There's been many times in my life that I felt very confident that I'd heard God. I had already gone through the process that we've discussed. I've gotten counsel and so forth like that. But it wasn't just entirely settled out in my heart yet. The best way I know how to describe it is, do you remember some of the NASA rocket launches? They have this little saying, just prior to the launch, they'll say, all systems go. Everybody say it. All systems. Say it again. All systems. I mean, they've been counting down. They've been anticipating. They've been preparing. If it's a manned flight, the astronauts are strapped in. But still, at the very last moment, they check it if all systems are go or not. And when they know all systems are go and they have that confidence, then and only then do they launch. Look at this in chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we, and here's where you want to get to, underline this, confidence toward God. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are what? Pleasing in His sight. So if I come to a major decision and I don't have confidence towards God. So many times it helps me just to picture this. Just to picture Jesus Himself sitting in my office or at my home, and me going right up to Jesus and just saying, Jesus, we're ready to launch the church. Right? And if Jesus says, right. If I feel all systems go. If the green light is in me. If I know in the natural. I mean, it gets back to a thus saith the Lord. The counsel helps. The knowledge helps. The information helps. But nobody can coach you into the will of God. You've got to want the will of God for yourself. And when you finally say, I know that I know that I know, then launch forward. Why? You now have the confidence of God and you know that you're doing the things pleasing in His sight. Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20. You say, well, what if I don't have that confidence? Then wait. Don't be afraid to wait. They that wait upon the Lord. Don't be afraid to wait. As I get older, I keep learning this lesson repetitively. God is not in a hurry. I wish He was sometimes, don't you?
Yeah.
I wish God was on my watch. It's like, Lord, it's 2 minutes to 12. Lord, it's 1 minute till 12. Lord, it's past 12, Lord. It's past the midnight hour. And God's up there going, I'm not looking at the same clock you're looking at. You're on Eastern time zone. I'm on a heaven's time zone. Now, I want to relate this, and this, in fact, will be our passage leading up to the offering today. But I want to tie this into the building expansion program. And I've said this, but I want to repeat this. You know, when we first got in here, I was just kind of dragging, thank God we just made it. Thank God we're just in here, and I just believe some people are going to start coming. And thank God that you've responded by the Holy Spirit, and God is, in fact, building this church. And I'm so encouraged when I see, like this morning, people that God has spoken their heart and they come and they join the church. And I know that God's going to continue to do that. But it never really, I'll be honest with you, it never really passed through my mind that we would get more space now. Because I didn't feel like we could afford it. So I sat in my office and one day I saw Ray Diodati, who's the developer of this park. I saw him and somebody else go into this space adjacent that we've already signed the papers on. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me right then, and He said, you could have that space. Ray came to me and he said, a contract has fallen through because they'd had a contract on this thing, and I just thought there's no hope, and the other side's taken up. And he said, the contract has fallen through. Would you be interested? Hallelujah. I just felt that old flicker. I just felt that old flame just kind of flickering down there. I wasn't at 100% faith. Wasn't entirely the know that you know that, but I knew something was there. All right, I endeavored at that point to begin to draw key men in. I began to consult with men in our church and to get their opinions because I wanted it to be a corporate decision and not, I don't want to be one of these pastors, then maybe if you've ever been around them, you understand what I'm saying, kind of a dictatorial type pastor. We're going to build a team mentality here. We're going to build a plurality of leadership here. So I called people, got their insight, got their input, and the general consensus was, we need to go for this. The only question was whether we should go for one bay or two bays. And so we began to basically look at how much money was coming in. Well, if you've read the insert, and we'll look at that in just a moment, we're now at $86,000 towards the down payment of $100,000. And this week the Lord gave me this passage, Deuteronomy 20. This was not part of my outline originally. And so what I'm reading to you is fresh, hot bread right out of the oven for World Outreach Christian Center. Look at verse 1, Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. When thou goest to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be when you are come near unto the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people and say, Hear, O Israel, you approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, do not tremble, neither be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is He that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Now the Lord gave me that passage in one of my quiet times this week. And as the priest of this house, if I could just paraphrase that, we're all priests unto God. But as the pastor responsible, I charge us to not look at, you say, well, you know, you look around and we haven't even filled up this space yet. You look around and, you know, a church running about 100, what do they have any business doing trying to buy more property? I'll tell you why. Because we've got a vision to reach people. And I thank God for it. They're willing to do this. Our junior and senior highs, even as we speak, are in a breakout session with Tim. But they're meeting in a storage room. Everybody say, we can do better. We can do better. And so when we signed, just a few weeks ago, we signed the papers for both bays next door. We gave them $50,000 at signing with the promise, and they required this. They wanted another $50,000. They wanted $100,000 down. I think the total's like $370,000 or something like that. I try not to look at that figure too much. Amen. They wanted $100,000 down. And so we are now only $14,000 away from that. We've got this morning, and then we've got next Sunday together. I am charging you. Don't fear. Don't look to the right or the left. Don't analyze it. Well, you know, I just believe people have give out all they're going to give. God has all the cattle on a thousand hills. He goes on to say, not only the priests, look at verse 5, the officers. He says, and the officers shall speak unto the people, saying... And that's why I want you to get this tape before you leave today, because we had intercessors. Dave Meadows was here, and of course Dave has been a very significant part with the dream that God gave him. Chris and Lori Pearden, some of you remember that. God has confirmed this whole thing, not only by the most important thing, the witness of the Holy Spirit. God has confirmed it with dreams, visions. And how could we doubt God when we got $86,000 from a church that's only 8 months old? That's absolutely a modern-day Book of Acts-type miracle. But it says in verse 5, the officer shall speak. And I'm going to paraphrase this. We're not going to read all of this. But if you go down in verse 6, he says, what man that's planted a vineyard, let him go back home. Or verse 7, if you're still thinking about your wife, get on home. Look at verse 8, if you're still faint-hearted and you're afraid, then get on home. He basically saying, all the doubters, just move aside because we're coming through with a miracle. God's coming through with a miracle. And he sent them back home. Well, we're not going to send anybody home. We're going to convince you and bring you on in to the camp of faith. Amen.
Well, this is Bible teacher Jason Peebles jumping back into the recording studio. That really concluded our study in this seminar. We went on into personal ministry. And I want to remind you that these principles, these 10 keys for discerning God's voice and all the other information that we've studied really are designed to help you begin to tune in to the voice of God to a greater degree. And I know that these keys will work for you. They're Bible-based keys, and they'll work for anyone. So reach out in faith, apply them, use them, and you'll move forward in your spiritual progress. This is Jason Peebles wishing you God's best and His success in your life. God bless you. Bye-bye.